We might have been able to make some excuse for them. We might have said, well, if God hasn't come yet. But he came. And it only made men worse. He opened the eyes of the blind man. We find this interesting comment in the 9th chapter, you remember, about healing the blind man. It was said, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind? No one had ever heard of such a thing. He spoke as no one had ever spoken. He even raised the dead. He raised Lazarus to life. There was no dispute about this. Everyone knew. His worst enemies didn't dispute the fact that he had raised a man from the dead. And his works showed him in every sense to be God manifested in the flesh. Well, I can't find this other reference now. But Jesus said over and over, and he told the people that I do the works of my Father. If I had not done these works, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated me and my Father. In other words, the works that I have done resulted in hatred of me. In other words, the good that I have done to the world shows that natural hatred. It brings it out and exposes it in all of its intensity against God. Now, this is a hard thing for us to think, isn't it, Christians? That the world hates Christ and hates the Father. Are their lines that sharply drawn? I think they are. The most wonderful thing that ever happened has come to the world, and the world ignores it, as if it weren't even important. He has altered the course of history forever and left an indelible mark upon this world, but the world still is indifferent. Why? Cause of sin, and because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It is unthinkable that men would relegate Christ to the position of some great religious teacher similar to Buddha or to Muhammad or whatever. What blasphemy, when there is utterly no objective mind could see anything but a dramatic contrast between Christ and any other human figure. He's left an indelible mark, and as I said a minute ago, all of time dates from him, and yet the world largely continues to ignore him. And doesn't this reveal that the problem with men today is not so much that God hasn't revealed himself and his truth, but it reveals that the problem is that men hate God. And hating Christ, they hate God. Now, Jesus says that I've done these works that no other man did in the world. Now that I've done all of this good, now they have hated both me and my Father. Now the wickedness is intensely manifested. And so when you see people leave Christ out and not speak of him and want to push him into a corner, understand, Christian, that this is the hatred of the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, and I'll close on this thought this morning, this word is a great encouragement to the true followers of Christ. Jesus, in speaking to the disciples, and he is talking to them here, after speaking of how many would not hear and understand, how many would be blinded, how many would see and not perceive. You remember the disciples said, why are you speaking them to them in parables? And Jesus said, because seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not hear. He quotes the scripture from Isaiah, prophesying all of this. But after speaking of how many would not hear and understand, and who would see and yet not would and would not perceive, he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, Christian, this morning, and you who love the Lord Jesus sincerely and have received him as your Lord, your personal Lord and Savior, blessed are your eyes. You see, the only thing that stands between you and hatred of Christ and God is one thing, and that is grace. Grace. To you, Jesus says, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Not that you were so intuitive, that you were so intelligent, that you were so diligent in seeking God, but it's all a gift of God's grace. The only thing that separates you from being a Christ-hater and a God-hater is grace. And oh, consider the grace this morning that smiled upon you in eternity when God chose a family, a people to be redeemed at the cost of the death of his only begotten Son. And he chose in Christ a vast multitude of sinners to be redeemed by him, to be set free from the blindness and darkness, to be translated out of Satan's kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God. That in that original and great purpose of God, that he chose you, Christian, who believe and who've given your heart and life and soul to him. That he chose you to see, to be delivered from the power of darkness. Do you ever look about? Are you sensible to this world of evil? Do you feel it moving in Jesus' words? Jesus here is telling us about the world in which we're going to live and witness. It hates him. It hates the Father. But you have been delivered from the power of darkness. If you believe, truly believe, you may have many struggles. You may suffer while you endure temptation in many areas of your life, holding back and refusing to go with the world and to indulge the pleasures of the flesh. You may see many temporal hopes dashed to pieces, and you may be poor in this world, not having a lot of money. But how rich you are, that God chose you to see, to love Christ and God the Father. That's why Paul can say, grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. Not all of those that go to Christmas services, not all of those who sit in churches. The Jews were good church members. I'm not talking about simply barely professing the truth here. Yes, I'm a Christian. That's the way I was baptized and brought up. I believe in God. But it means I personally know myself to be a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and I beg the Lord Jesus for mercy. I believe that he's God's eternal Son, and I trust in him with all my heart for salvation. And I love him. Yes, I love him. Not as I ought, but I love him. I know that I don't hate him. I know I'm not indifferent to him. I know I've given my life to him. How many can say that this morning? Really in your heart. I've given my life and all that I am and have to serve him. And you hear Paul saying this morning to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I love him so much, I want to be conformable to his death. And as a true Christian, you say, oh, that I might love him that much. That I can say, for me to live is Christ. Not my husband, not my wife, not my children, not my family, the great contemporary God today. I think we want to pretend that we love our families today. Maybe to mask so many other evils in our hearts. But none of these things but Christ. Consider the riches of God's grace that found you and brought you to himself. You may lack many things, but you are rich if you have Christ, and victory is assured. Why did Christ say these dark things to his disciples, if not to encourage them that to expect victory? To be confident of victory at last, that he and his truth would overcome the world of darkness and hatred. And second, the scripture is of use to summon us all to fix our hearts and minds upon Christ. As we think of the world hating him and rejecting him, of the world's indifference and coldness to him, let us draw near to him with true affection of heart. He is the one in whom all fullness dwells. He is the bright and the morning star. He is the one who overcame the world's hatred of him and overcomes it today and is set down at the right hand of God the Father, from henceforth expecting that all his enemies be made his footstool. He is the one in whom all the promises of God are yea and amen. Do you love him? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Have you committed yourself to him this morning? Because if you haven't, then you will be that one that stumbles on him and eventually will be ground to pieces. Him. But if you love him, all will be well with your soul forever. Whatever your troubles now, whatever, however miserable your present circumstances may be, and for many, many they are miserable in a sense, but you will have all things always, forever. It will be well with you, Christian, for time and for all eternity. And if our earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. So draw near to him, hold fast to Christ, keep close to him whom the world hates. Hang on to him. I love the words of the poem, "Hangs my helpless soul on thee." Is that your confession this morning? That's a true believer, not someone that thinks he's great or holier than this person, but vile and sinful. He says, "Hangs my helpless soul on thee, Lord Jesus." Stay close to him and hear what he says to you that love him. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let us pray. O Lord, as thou hast spoken unto us of the hatred of the world to thee, we see how men would remove thee, how our government would remove thee, our leaders, how they would put thee to silence, and many of them would go to church and profess to be Christians, and yet hate the name of Jesus, the Christ of the Scriptures. For they manufacture a false Christ that is no better than any other religious teacher. But deliver us from the blindness of the world's unbelief and hatred, and that hatred that is all the more manifest by thy wonderful works, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from it, and grant that each of us that would know that we love thee, Lord Jesus, may be comforted in knowing of thy grace that opened our blind eyes and made us see. And grant that we may not despair over this dark situation, but know that thou didst speak these words to encourage thy disciples to hold fast, that they should not give in to the darkness of the world, but should be confident of that victory that thou wilt bring to all that know and serve thee. Take this word, Lord Jesus, so but feeble exposition, and make it real in the hearts of thy people. Cause each to benefit. We pray that not one soul shall be lost for having refused the word that was preached this morning, but that all shall be found at thy right hand in the day of thy appearing. Amen.